What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
We're going to head to Kauffman Stadium right now to get the latest on North Kansas City could potentially be getting the Royals, or we'll talk about the Royals' actual games against the New York Mets. Who knows? Vern, I know you're excited about talking about this term sheet letter. Rob told me how excited you were to be on the show today to break down this development.
I don't
development.
Even know what a term sheet paper is. we're not talking like high. Yeah, I don't know what we're talking about.
Vern, we're happy to have you on the show today. We were just talking about this before you popped on. I imagine that Juan Soto was a great baseball player, right? I get it. One of the best players in baseball. I can't imagine paying $765 million to a player that doesn't really sell tickets away from his home stadium. No one is going out to Kauffman Stadium tonight to go see him play. They were going out there to see Paul Skenes potential if he was going to pitch. People went out there to go see Shohei pitch that Saturday. Nobody is going to Kauffman to go see Juan Soto. He's making $121 million this season alone.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you're the best young hitter since Ted Williams, you're not really concerned about what type of draw you are on the road. No, and listen, and now that's the bar, right? I mean, if Juan Soto's getting $700 million, you're going to see Kyle Tucker this offseason get about $500 million. And I'm sure Kyle Tucker could walk into that studio right now and you'd say, who's this tall white dude? You have no idea who he is.
I didn't even know Kyle Tucker was a real person until it was about 20 seconds ago. Like, Kyle Tucker.
Yeah. So, again, I think it's a reflection of just the game and where it's at. And if you're not knee-deep into baseball, these prices can get out of hand for names that you've never heard of.
We should play a game where we play, like, left guard or left fielder, where I just, like, read you a name and you try to guess if they play in the NFL or baseball. Because Kyle Tucker certainly sounds like he
plays. See, I don't think that would work. See, Dot, I think people know left guards. Honestly, I think the average sports fan knows more left guards than they do left fielders, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, I would have guessed that Kyle Tucker plays left guard for the Los Angeles Rams if you had told me that.
That's Kyle Turley, right?
Oh, that was a good one. Yeah, I do remember Kyle Turley. No, that was a good one.
That's why you went Rams. I think that's why you went Rams.
That was a good one. Our guy Josh Vernier is here. All right, Vern, the Royals are playing better baseball of late. Has anything changed with the Royals, or is it just the ebb and flow of the game?
No, your big bats, the guys that you and I have talked about every single week for the past 3-4 months, those bats have been outstanding. Since the calendar flipped to July, Bobby Witt Jr. has been the 7th best baseball player on the planet, if you go by war. Now, that's nothing new. He's been top 10 all season. But if you look at offense, just offense, Bobby's been one of the 10 best hitters in the sport in the month of July. So has Salvi. Yeah, Salvi's been one of the 10 best hitters on the planet here in the month of July, and Vinny Pasquantino's been top 25. So basically, the big three are putting forth the same Herculean effort we saw a season ago. Now, what they have right now that they didn't have a season ago is a running mate, and the recently named All-Star Michael Garcia, one of only eight big leaguers batting better than 300. So now you have four bats that you feel good about. Now, Jonathan India's on-base percentage is north of 360 here in the month of July, and Jack Caglione, as we've seen, is now tattooing balls here at Kauffman Stadium. So the offense is no longer the worst in the sport. They're getting back to where they were last year, middle of the road, and that's because your big bats are being just that.
Speaking of big bats, we got to talk about Jack Caglione. He hit two home runs this week, back-to-back games for him. Very encouraging sign. You and I have talked about this. You just got to let him swim, and it's going to be some ups and downs. There's going to be some failures, but when you made that decision to bring him up from Omaha, you signed up for at least the 2025 season and probably starting into next year. There is no turning back on the decision that you made a month ago.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. And you look around Major League Baseball in that 2024 draft class, man, I wouldn't be surprised in a couple decades from now if we're looking back on last year's draft class as one of the greats of this century. Roman Anthony starting to turn it on in Boston after he had a slowish start like Jack Caglione. Nick Kurtz, another one of the 2024 draft picks. He's been as clutch as any slugger in the sport over the past month with the Athletics. Cam Smith with the Astros, the young kid out there with the Angels. So all of these guys that were in college a season ago, being drafted a year ago this time, they've all had to wear some bumps and bruises, but because they are so uber talented, right, it's not normal. Even though it feels a little bit more normal, it's still abnormal to go from college to the big leagues in one calendar year, and yet there's about a half a dozen guys right now in the big leagues that are doing it and starting to really blossom into some of the faces of the game, or at least future faces of the game. So Cags is right in line with the rest of them, and there's really no reason to believe that he won't be a force in August and September down the stretch to hopefully team up with Michael, Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi and bring a formidable front nightly on the offensive end of things.
How many at-bats do you usually need, or do we need to kind of make this evaluation? Everyone agrees that it's very early on with Jack Caglione. Are you a 500 ABs, 1,000 ABs? When do you kind of get to that point with a young player like Caglione that we can start to kind of evaluate how he's performed so far in his career?
Yeah, I don't have a number of ABs. I would say give me a calendar year of big league baseball. So this time next June, I think it'll be fair to judge Cags as a hitter. Defensively, what we're seeing from him in the corner outfield, I don't think you're going to be able to judge him as a corner outfielder until maybe the end of next season. It's going to take a while before. Now, he's a tremendous athlete and has already made some outstanding plays out there, but, man, the crash course that this kid has had thrown at him over the past year, I have a tough time believing that he's truly digested all of it. A lot of this is just, man, I'm just going out there and reacting, doing the thing that I've been doing since I was a little kid. A lot of this just comes naturally to me. There are a lot of adjustments that still lie ahead for Cags, for Roman Anthony, and all those other draft picks I mentioned earlier. So, yeah, I need a full season of big league baseball before I'm going to make any declarative statement about who you're going to be in the future. Although, when you get to the big leagues this quickly, the success rate is, north of 70-75%. Cags isn't going to be a bust, right? He's not a bum. You don't get here this quickly and then fade out of the league in the next 3-4 years. So the floor is pretty high. The ceiling, we don't know what the ceiling is. Give me a year, and I think we'll have a better understanding of the ceiling.
Right now, we're talking to our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, just getting his thoughts on the Royals as they're playing some much better baseball of late. They swept the Pittsburgh Pirates. They also won a series against the Arizona Diamondbacks, and now they have the Mets coming into town. I am kind of looking at this series. Now, if you win it, that would be incredible. The Mets are a better team than the Royals, and the Royals have really struggled in these series. You and I have talked about you're not ready to kind of wave that white flag right now. There's no reason to make that trade right now with Seth Lugo or anyone kind of key to what the Royals are doing right now. I think the Royals are just right there on that fringe. If this team is one game under 500 and they're 2.5, 3 games out of the wild card, I think it allows them to kind of breathe a little bit and, as you said, kind of give themselves some more time. The Royals officially have 15 more games between now and the Major League Baseball trade deadline. I'm starting to side with you. This team is not making a move on July 18th. This team is going to wait until the 27th, 28th before they make a decision about what they're going to do.
Because you want to see if trading Seth Lugo is a white flag. Because right now, I still believe that it is. The only way you can convince me that it's not is if you can convince me that this offense that we've seen over the course of, what, 9 games here in the month of July, if you can convince me that this offense is the offense moving forward. This great Salvi and Bobby and Vinny and Cags is hitting bombs and India's getting on base and Mike Hell's as consistently clutch as they come. Yeah, if you're going to tell me that this team is 6 deep of guys that can beat you with one swing and you're going to get quality approaches and swings from Kyle Isbell and Nick Lofton, okay, well then maybe trading Seth Lugo right now isn't a white flag because the offense will be able to make up for the regression from the rotation. But I'm not there yet. You know, 9 games does not offset what I watched over the previous 75. So, like you're saying, with this series, show me something. Because the Royals, they don't need magic right now. Right? They don't need to get on some sort of a historic run. What they need to do down the stretch is be a good baseball team. See, Dodd, you know the old adage, win your series at home, go 500 on the road. If the Royals are able to do that, they'll finish the year with 86 victories, matching their win total from a season ago. 86, I believe, will be good enough to get you into October. So win your series at home, go 500 on the road, and somehow, despite having, at this moment, the worst run-scoring offense in franchise history, you'll still be able to control your fate, and this pitching staff might be able to drag this team to the finish line, so long as this offense moving forward is more of what we've seen of late rather than what we watched over those first 2 months. So they still control their fate. And man, when they were struggling through the month of June, I don't know if many people thought they would hit the All-Star break still in control, not wishing and praying for the baseball gods to give them some sort of miraculous run down the stretch like we saw last season from Detroit. They're not there yet. But you lose this series to the Mets, and yeah, you might need to call on the baseball gods down the stretch.
Looking at the Royals right now, they have as many All-Stars as the Mets, Rays, Yankees, and Astros. They now have 4 players in. They got 2 originally, and now Carlos Estevez and Mikel Garcia have both been named. It's funny because I think that all 4 of the Royals All-Stars should have been All-Stars, but it also hits your ear funny when you hear that the Royals have the same amount of All-Stars as the Astros, Mets, and Yankees.
Yeah, it's another reflection of just how disappointing this first half of the season has been. Your closer's been outstanding. Chris Bubich is one of 2 starters that could be representing the boys in Atlanta. Seth Lugo has a really good case. Bobby Witt Jr. and Mikel Garcia obviously both deserve to be there, and to think that that team is 2 games below 500 says, well, when you dive into it, it says a lot about their lack of clutch, their lack of power, and their overall lack of run-scoring ability. Yeah, it's certainly disappointing, although I was just inside that clubhouse talking with Mikel Garcia, congratulating him on going to the Midsummer Classic, and it's, you know, he says he's already heard from his cousin, Alcides Escobar, who he's now matching in total All-Star appearances. His other cousin, Ronald Acuna, is going to be taking part in the Home Run Derby coming up on Monday, so Mikel was all geared up to hand him the Gatorade and the towel and to be, you know, his support system coming up on Monday night. So it's going to be a great family affair for Mikel and the rest of the bunch. So, and then Carlos going to his second, along with Bobby, along with Chris Bubich. It should make for pretty decent TV ratings in Kansas City coming up on Tuesday for the game.
That is our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show today. The Royals have 4 All-Stars. They also have the Mets in town. Vern, great stuff, man. Look forward to catching up with you next week.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Absolutely. That is our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show today. Coming up on the other side, the Big 12 had their media day, and there was a common theme. One theme was about the college football playoff. The other theme was about potential changes to the infrastructure of college football. We'll talk about it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game. Right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
All right, back in on the drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Friday. Coming up in just a bit, we are going to play for you two people that have moved potentially to the top of the list of a Chiefs hater. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. But I would say that one of the themes from the Big 12 Media Day was, well, one theme was the changes to the college football playoff. Everybody has their own idea of how the playoff should go. Some teams want to do what they call the 5-11 model, where they are just going to take the conference winners from the five, and then the 11 teams will be wild card teams, at-large teams. There's another proposal that is out there that the Big Ten wants four teams, the SEC wants four teams, the Big 12 would get two teams. So there is a lot of debate on what the college football playoff is going to look like, but everybody acknowledges that the college football playoff is about to change. The other change, and we'll play for you what the coaches had to say in a little bit, was about NIL and how the system is working. Now, I love college football. I might actually like college football more than I like the NFL for a bunch of different reasons, but there is no question to me that Saturday is amazing. I love Saturday. When you sit there on your couch and you got games around the country and the sights and the sounds, it is magnificent. I don't know if I love the sport all the other days, though, but the games are amazing. Now, I don't mind that the players get paid. I really don't mind that they get paid. But my frustration with college athletics is you can't be both. You can't operate in an ideal of amateurism, yet be a multi-billion dollar business in which the players get paid. It is not amateur athletics anymore. It is a professional sport. And I am curious if you guys' interest in college football and college sports is starting to dwindle because it is basically the NBA Lite and NFL Junior. Now, I don't mind that. But if it wants to be more like the NFL, then some things need to happen. Deion Sanders wishes that there was a salary cap for the sport. Here's Deion.
I wish it was a cap. You know, like the top of the line player makes this. And if you're not that type of guy, you know you're not going to make that. That's what the NFL does. So the problem is you got a guy that's not that darn good, but he could go to another school and they give him $500,000 and you can't compete with that. That don't make sense. And you're talking about equality, not equality, like equal, I think it's equality. And all you have to do is look at the playoffs and see what those teams spent. And you understand darn near why they're in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to compete with somebody who's giving $25, $30 million to a darn freshman class.
That was Deion Sanders talking about his wish for a salary cap. I think Deion Sanders is like a lot of people. I don't have a problem with college athletics getting paid. I don't have a problem at all. In fact, I've been advocating for that for years. So I don't have a problem with them being paid. But every system needs structure. Every system needs rules. Your favorite college football team actually cheats kind of regularly. You're not supposed to tamper. Rob, we all know there are a bunch of college football teams. In fact, every college football team that is constantly communicating with players who have signed NIL deals with other schools and are under scholarship with other schools. You're not supposed to be able to do that. But since there's no rules, there's no governing body, and everybody is doing it, then who are you going to complain to? What I want college athletics to sign up for is a more professional model because that's what it is. It's a professional model for everybody. So let's treat it like that when it comes to the players. We have a free agency period. We just call it something different. It's the transfer portal. So let's get rules for what the transfer portal are. In the NFL, you sign a contract with the team. All right, well, if you want to transfer to Kansas, hey, you sign a 2-year transfer deal. You either play for us or go to the NFL. That's it. There is no, well, I'm going to play here for a year and then I'll end up going to this school. No, that ain't how it work. I'm all for a salary cap. But a salary cap in this sense means you need to disperse your resources evenly. That's how the NFL does it. The Chiefs don't get more resources than Jacksonville. They get the same amount of resources. You start with the same amount of picks. You get the same salary cap space. Everybody shares and shares alike. The Cowboys don't have their own television deal while Green Bay is trying to figure it out. No, everybody signs together. Someone on the text line says, I wish college football had a red zone. You want to know why NFL has a red zone? Because CBS has access to all 32 teams. Fox has access to all 32 teams. There's one contract for everybody. So yeah, we have the right to show all of these. But when the Big Ten's got to deal with this network, but this team has a... No, why don't we all share and share alike? That's what they do in professional sports. I think it was Dan Wolkin that said this. In the NFL and in professional sports, they look at the other teams as partners. The Cowboys look at Jacksonville as a partner. That's not how it is in college athletics. They look at them as competitors in every single aspect of it. And that just stops a lot of the progress that would make it operate and function a lot more smoothly. Maybe you don't care what Deion Sanders has to say. That's fine. What about Mike Gundy? He's certainly been around. Mike Gundy also wants a salary cap.
College needs to instigate and to build that type of system so we don't have the same 4, 5, or 6 schools that pay the most money at the end of the season in the playoffs.
How would that manifest in like actuality? Like how would you do that?
Well, you got to restructure the system and you got to admit that the players are employees. And then you can build a collective bargaining. We've all talked about it. Yep. But you have to admit they're employees.
And you could actually have a salary cap.
You could do it all. Yeah. And you need that. And then you need an entry salary cap. Like you need an entry level for a high school player coming in because it's not sustainable.
Someone on the text line says, CDOT, I hear what you're saying, but it's hard to put the toothpaste back into the tube at this point. No, it's not. Simply acknowledge that they are employees, give them employee rights, and treat it as such. You can trade players in the NFL. You can sign players and cut players. There is a free agency portion of this. The players get paid. They get a certain percentage of revenue. Yes, they get a certain percentage. Not NIL money from third parties. No, they get some of the television money too. They get some of the gambling money too. They get some of the Madden money. They get some of the... They're equal partners in this. I don't think this is that difficult. We have figured out how to make everybody else in the world employees. How will we not figure this out with college athletics? This is simple. We all complain about the transfer portal and how we hate it. Well, let's come up with a system then. Currently, what we have is every player in college is a free agent all the time. Kansas has done everything in the world for Darren Peterson. Bent over backwards. Darren Peterson probably makes what? Somewhere between $2 to $5 million this year to play basketball at Kansas. Next year, he can just say, hey, you know what, Bill? It was cool. I want to go play at Kentucky. No, you can't. No. We're not letting you go play at Kentucky. We signed you to this deal. We have a contract together. You work for us. That's how it works in professional sports. And guess what Darren Peterson is? He is a professional. Kansas is great. Elite university. I don't think he went there because he really likes their English program. I think he went there because they paid him a lot of money to go play basketball there, and he thinks that's in his best interest for his professional career. Great. We all know this. So let's just treat it like this. But as long as college is in this hybrid model of, well, it's kind of amateur, but it's kind of professional, then it's always just going to lead to confusion. Let's just be a professional sport. That's what it is. It is a professional league. So let's have rules like professional leagues. A salary cap, collective bargaining, a trading period, a free agency period. Let's have all the things that we have in professional sports. And I think it would just make it a better and more enjoyable product for everybody. The games are amazing. It's the business and administration part of it that I think frustrates just about everybody. I want to play this audio for you guys because we are starting to develop who some Chiefs haters are. Now, I feel bad for my brother, Danny Parkins. And I don't mean to shoot at the breakfast ball, but he works with two of the biggest haters with the Kansas City Chiefs. First off, I want to play Craig Carton. He might be Captain Hater when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs. He was on the television earlier this day, excited for a potential fall of the three-time defending AFC champions.
It's going to be so enjoyable when this team has the inevitable crash that all teams have some point. You know, like New England had it. They rebuilt themselves, came back and won more Super Bowls. But the crash is coming. And I know you people in Kansas City don't like
from your lips to God's ears, right?
Like, and you can already tell they are not going to handle it well. Because if you're complaining about a 15-2 year in which you went to the Super Bowl and sure you got blown out, kind of like you did against Tampa 4 years earlier, and that is a problem for you, and that robbed you of having fun, because, you know, being worth $500 million and getting to play football every Sunday, when it does blow up, and it will, because it always does, whether it's the Broncos, the Chargers, God forbid I say the Raiders, or some other team, beats them for the division title, and now they're no longer guaranteed home field and an easy route or an easier route to a Super Bowl, they are not going to handle it well. And I want to tell you something right now, Mark.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've got a special bag of marshmallows sitting in my office right now with special Godiva chocolate, the coach's favorite kind, right? And I got long skewers, and I got graham crackers, and a Duraflame log.
All right.
I am ready, for the fall of the Kansas City Chiefs. Like when the Roman Empire fell to the Greeks. You know the story, Eric.
You know what? As I was listening to that, I was starting to think, man, I remember when I felt this way about Kansas basketball. I just swapped out the names. Baylor, Iowa State, K-State, you know what we used to do. When KU was running through the Big 12, I mean, it feels like it was such a long time ago, you know? They won this league. KU fans were wearing regular season T-shirt accomplishments. Oh, we won this conference, and I felt like Craig Carton. I couldn't wait to see it. But, I mean, KU won the league. What, they win it, Rob? 12 times in a row? 13 times in a row. They won a national championship during that run. I mean, yeah, it eventually ended. Man, they certainly did a lot while they had it. Maybe that run is over for KU. At some point, the run will definitely end for the Chiefs, right? Like, everything ends. The Patriots run ended. The Bulls run ended. The 90s Cowboys run ended. I think everyone acknowledges that the Chiefs run will eventually end. I don't think it's ending in 2025. So, yes, maybe Craig Carton one day will dance on the grave of the Chiefs and it'll be 2032. Well, the Chiefs will have then gone to 13 AFC championship games, 7 Super Bowls, and won 5 of them. I mean, yeah, you were right. Eventually, I was right about KU. Eventually, the league caught up to them. They won 2 national championships and won 15 league titles since then. I don't know how much I can dance on the grave. I don't know how much you can do that if you're Craig Carton and be excited about the fall. If they've been to 5 Super Bowls, they've won 3 of them. They've played in the AFC Championship game every year. I just don't know how excited you can be for this, or you could turn around and tell people you're right. I want to play more Craig Carton because he loves making you guys upset.
Well, let's be honest. We're all rooting for their demise, aren't we?
Yeah. Oh,
outside of Chiefs fans, obviously. I want to see them suffer.
Right.
I want to see the Kansas City Chiefs have like a 3-win year and finally kind of even things out in the NFL, because unless it's your team, one of the great things about sports, and this is why we need superstars and why we need super teams, is finding a team to root against, right? Broncos fans hate the Chiefs. Raiders fans hate the Chiefs. Ravens fans, Bills fans. I hate the Chiefs and my team stinks, right? So I am rooting openly, I don't deny it one little bit, for their demise. I want to see an under 500 team every week where they have to try to explain to people what the heck went wrong.
Now, I will agree with Craig Carton there, and I'm going to defend him here, and I know you might not agree, but to continue our Kansas analogy, one of the reasons that being a KU fan has to be enjoyable is you know how mad it makes Missouri and K-State. I hate how successful you guys are. I really do. I hate that every year you can convince 15,000 people to go watch you reenact High School Musical and play a scrimmage against one another. I hate the fact that you win all the time. I hate the fact that every Chiefs player goes and sits courtside and they show them on the screen and then they wave. I hate the song that you sing to each other. I hate the fact that Bill comes out last and blows on his hands and you guys go crazy like you've never seen it before. I hate it, but I'm supposed to hate it. That's all Craig is saying. That part is sports. Your success makes me mad because I wish my team had this success. What's that saying? If you ain't got haters, you ain't trying hard enough. You ain't popping. The reason I hate KU is because they're popping. I don't hate Oklahoma State basketball. They never had nothing that I wanted. They never won anything before. Nobody feels this way about the Titans. You want to know why? The Titans don't win anything. They're the number one overall pick. So I know you guys don't like Craig Carton, you hate him, but I think there at the end, he was like, this is sports. I root for them because they win all the time. And eventually, this is how every team gets when you win all the time. Eventually, you got tired of seeing Nick Saban win all the time. You got tired of seeing the Yankees win all the time. The reason you hate the Cardinals is because, for the most part, they've won all the time. That's who the Chiefs are now. This is where you want to be as a fan. You want to be in the 1% of the 1%. That makes Craig Carton as a Jets fan mad because he knows every time he turns on the television, he knows what's going to happen. The Chiefs are going to figure out a way to win.
I mean, it is truly the best space to be in. I said this when the Chiefs dynasty started. I continue to say it. You are now Kansas basketball fans, and I mean that in the best way possible. Gloat. Enjoy the fact that Craig Carton is saying these things. Enjoy the fact that Jason McIntyre is saying these things. Laugh at it and then wait till September, October, November, December, January, and then revel in the glory. That's the real reason why people hate KU fans, is Mizzou fans and K-State fans would get mad about all the stuff you laid out. And then what happens in March? More times than not, KU would point to a league title or a Final Four or a national title, and it just made you guys angrier. Chiefs fans, you have that at a level I've almost never seen in the NFL. They've been in the AFC title game 7 consecutive seasons. They've been to what? 5 Super Bowls with Mahomes? Don't worry about what these people are saying. Don't worry about getting online and angrily typing about how he's an idiot. Just sit back, enjoy it, and then to the victor goes the spoils. It'll be February. Kick your feet up and get ready to watch your team in another Super Bowl. That is what you're supposed to do. You talk about all the time, you respect KU fans, is they always just like, hey, we know we're going to win. Chiefs fans get in the little Twitter spats when these kind of things pop up way too often. Sit back and let the peons talk and then dominate from your throne. Don't take the bait, Chiefs fans.
No, I agree. You're right. I do love KU fans because they ride around in a Ferrari and they're not arguing with people who ride the bus. No, that's not what KU fans do. KU fans laugh at you as they drive by in their $100,000 sports car and the hot model sitting in the past. Well, why am I arguing with you? You're riding a bike. That's what KU does, and I just don't like it. I want them to argue more. I really do. I want them to. I feel like Craig Carton. That's how I feel about Kansas the majority of the time. I don't have anything against you. I just don't like that you win all the time. It upsets me. It bothers me. It really does. It makes me unhappy. Mark Schlereth, who he played for the Broncos, so he's got a track record of losing to the Chiefs. Here's Mark Schlereth.
I will say this, though. I think for the first time, and I'm a Bronco fan. You know,
of course
I,
you are.
I have the Denver in my blood. I think for the first time in a long time, I do a radio show in Denver. People feel like there was a time.
Like blood in the water?
Yeah, there was a time that Patrick Mahomes was the boogeyman, right? Like,
sure.
There's nothing we can do. But there feels like there's this league-wide sense that this is the first time in Kansas City, in his tenure at Kansas City, that they're vulnerable. Like that somebody else could
creep up and win this season.
Right, win this division. And we all picked it, I think yesterday, right? I think you said the Chargers, I said the Chargers.
That wasn't that they would. It's like who's most likely.
Most likely. Yeah. But before there was no most likely.
Right.
Kansas City's winning. It's most likely to come in second was the conversation we were having.
One of my friends just sent me a message and said, "CDOT, Chiefs fans act this way because they're not used to being winners yet. I mean, you've been a winner for 7 years. When does it kick in? 7 consecutive years you've been to the AFC Championship game. You've been to the Super Bowl now for 3 straight years. I feel like winning should be normal now at this point. You call it the Arrowhead Invitational. I don't know if you can get more used to something when you call... I mean, it is quite literally the second most important football game of the year. It's like, oh, it's the air. It's ours now. We know we'll be in it. We'll just wait to see if you can play in it or not. I feel like Chiefs fans should be used to this. You should be used to it. I just think it's all fun banter. I don't have anything against Craig Carton. I've never met the man before, but you guys know how I feel about Danny Parkin, so I support him. I support their show. Shout out to Craig Carton, man.
I do think it's funny that Craig was talking like this. The week Danny's on vacation.
Danny was gone.
He was like, let's get Mangini on the set and let's just go. He ain't doing this in front of Danny.
Well, you're right. Danny would have stood up 100%. Danny would have stood tall. I'm with you. Coming up on the other side, we got a chance to catch up with Joel Corey earlier today to talk a little contract with the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll play it for you. There is not a single person that knows NFL contracts more than him. We talked to him about Trey Smith and Trent McDuffie. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
All right, earlier today on the show, we had Joel Corey on the show. Very few people know the salary cap a lot better than he does. We asked him about Trey Smith's contract, and he thinks the Brink trucks is about to get loaded.
You're probably going to have to set new standards in most meaningful metrics outside of making the highest paid offensive guard. That's kind of a given, given that the franchise tag is over $23 million, and the highest paid guy on a long-term deal is Lance Dickerson. Dickerson in Philadelphia, $21 million per year. So the biggest signing bonus you've ever had for an offensive guard is Quentin Nelson a couple years ago with $31 million. Probably have to go that. And if you do that, you create a ton of cap room. Because you could chop the salary down to league minimum or close to it, and you could have him on a cap number of about maybe less than 10 for this year. So you pick up $13 million of cap space. Then you're going to have to look at what's the most amount fully guaranteed, and that's Chris Lindstrom. He's got 48.2 fully guaranteed at signing. And then you also have Robert Hunt and overall guarantees – $63 million. I think you got to exceed those two marks as well. And if you have to, I'm sure the agent's going to factor in the equation that if you went year to year, next year's franchise tag is a shade over $28 million, and the two tags would be almost $51.5 million. So he might be looking at that is what he needs fully guaranteed at signing.
We asked Joel Corey how much a contract extension would look like for Trey Smith. He said 4 years, $90 to $95 million with $50 million guaranteed. So we are talking about a substantial contract. I want to play one more cut for you guys, at least related to Trey Smith. He talks about the leverage that Trey Smith has. And he does have a decent amount of leverage. I mean, the Chiefs did get rid of Joe Tooney. The Chiefs have made it pretty clear that protecting Patrick Mahomes with the offensive line is their number one priority. They've got a very talented 25-year-old, very healthy offensive lineman that they have guaranteed to give $23.7 million to this season. So worst-case scenario, if you're Trey Smith, you're thinking, okay, I'll take the $23.7 million. I'll ball out this season. Either you're going to pay me this offseason or you'll let me hit free agency where I'm going to get the $50 million. So Trey Smith is not really in a rush. Now, obviously, you want to get the guaranteed money. You want to lock that in. But if you look at Trey Smith's track record, I don't know if he needs to take what he deems as less than market value, because it will be there if you just simply continue what you've been doing in your career. Here is Joel Corey talking about how Trey Smith has all the leverage in the Chiefs negotiation.
But when you traded away your other guard and you stuck the franchise tag on him, you shifted that thing big time. He has all the leverage. He's sitting there going, well, he signed a tag pretty quickly, which was smart, because it became fully guaranteed at that point. If you have an unsigned tender, it could be revoked. So that's now out of the equation. He's looking at it and his people looking at it. Well, I can play for my 23-4 and then I'm going to be a free agent next year. Because he probably, based on history in terms of what happens when you have a Pro Bowl caliber offensive guard hit the open market, it's happened on maybe five occasions in the past decade, that guy the market. So that's probably going to happen if you let him get out there. But it did surprise me between the tag and the trade. He's got the hammer, and if he's taking the approach, I'm leaving that to my agents, it's going to be used. They're not going to show a lot of mercy to the Chiefs unless he gave them specific marching orders that when we get to July 15, I'll take the best deal that's on the table. If he didn't, then Kansas City could have a problem. But you don't trade Tooney and stick the tag on him not to get a deal done.
I think that both sides obviously want to get a deal done, and that's number one in this negotiation. I think both sides want to get a deal done. They have until July 15th, so, I mean, we're in the final home stretch of this. Now, deadlines make deals. I'm guessing that at some point this weekend, we will see a tweet that gives us an update. This deal has to be locked in by Tuesday at 3 o'clock. If he is not signed by Tuesday at 3 o'clock, he plays this year under the franchise tag, which, I mean, isn't the worst possible thing that can happen. But if going off the numbers that Joel Corey has, you could save $13 million in salary cap by simply signing him to a long-term extension. It's a pretty significant amount of money that I'm sure you could use at some point this season if you want to go out and make a move depending on how things continue to shake out. So if he wants to get a deal done, you want to get a deal done, he wants to lock up more guaranteed money, you want more cap flexibility, then the best thing to do generally is to reach a long-term extension. Here he is talking about what that contract would look like.
He's not going to give you more than four total years. And I look at the not four new years in, besides the tag number he's playing on. That's a placeholder. So I'm really thinking 4 years, 25, 26, 27, 28. He's not going to give you more than that. Since you're probably going to have to go maybe 50 fully guaranteed at signing, since Lindstrom's at 48 and probably 65 in overall guarantees. If you could get this thing for anything under 90 for the 4 years, I think you should be happy with that. I suspect it might be closer to 92 to 95. If that might give the Chiefs sticker shock. But I don't think it's going to be the 2.5% increases we've had with Lindstrom when he became the highest paid guy, or Dickerson when he became the highest paid guy, because that only puts you $21.5 million. So that franchise tag just totally changed the dynamics of negotiation.
Yeah, I mean, the franchise tag here, I think, is something that you can't really remove yourself from. It locks him into $23.7 million for this upcoming year, and I don't know why he would be interested in taking a pay cut for this upcoming season. Like, that's the floor. The moment you gave him the franchise tag, that became the floor. If you want to sign him to a long-term deal, this is what you guaranteed he was going to make in 2025. I don't know many people that want to make less money in 2026 and 2027 than they were in 2025. So that's just kind of it. If you want to sign him to a deal, it's going to be an expensive ordeal. It's just not going to be very cheap. I am happy that we're not talking about the concept of a hometown discount. Once you franchise tag him, that hometown discount conversation, that goes out of the window. Another player, last cut I want to play for you guys from Joel Corey, former NFL agent, works at CBS Sports, is what a Trent McDuffie contract will look like. He actually thinks that he's going to wait a little bit.
Well, he has no reason to do a deal right now from this standpoint. He probably wants to wait for Sauce Gardner to get done, because the Jets have some talk about trying to get him done and also Garrett Wilson. Although Sauce Gardner had his worst year of his three-year NFL career in 2024, I expect him to reset the market. He'll go above Stingley's $30 million per year. I want that data point in the marketplace before I'm negotiating anything about McDuffie. So there's incentive for him not to get a deal done now.
I think that's a really good point when talking about Trent McDuffie's contract. I would say that there's four elite young corners in the league. Two of them have already signed a contract. Derek Stingley signed a deal. Patrick Surtain II has already signed a deal. And you are waiting to see what happens with Trent McDuffie and Sauce Gardner. Sauce Gardner is just going to get paid. He was phenomenal his first 2 years. Now, I don't know if he was that great last year. I think he struggled a little bit. But, I mean, if you were the college player that he was and you got off to the start in your NFL career, someone is going to give Sauce Gardner a lot of money. That someone will probably be the New York Jets. So I think Joel makes a really good point. If you're Trent McDuffie, you've been healthy, you've been playing at a high level, I don't know if you're in a rush to get a deal done right now. You let Sauce Gardner sign a deal, and now you have all the information. I'm in the caliber with these players. I know what they make. This is about what I should make. I'm really intrigued by the Trent McDuffie conversation because there's the debate. Some of you don't think they should pay Trent McDuffie because they don't historically play corners. I remember having this conversation and people told me that they weren't going to draft Trent McDuffie because they never spent valuable resources on a corner. They then spent a valuable resource on a corner and he turned out to be one of the best in the league. I don't now know if they're now going to trade that player away. I think they're re-signing him. What does a contract extension look like for Trent McDuffie? Sounds like we're going to have to wait a little bit. I don't think he's signing one this offseason. I think he plays one more year under a rookie deal, and then next season is where we have the conversation about Trent McDuffie. Coming up on the other side, the Royals are back in town. The Royals also sent a term sheet to North Kansas City about where the new stadium could potentially be. We'll talk about it. Keep right here. So drive.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.